It's exactly Sunday in the morning, and we are back with the Ex-Convict Diaries radio show exactly on Sunday. And today, the audience, I've told you earlier that we are having a guest in the studio. We are having Mr. Paulus Shimwe Feleni. He is well known by the name Ninja. We know him. We are aware of him. He's a man that recently we saw him playing a major role when it comes to awareness, educating youth, when it's coming to all activities that may lead to crimes. We see him every time in the street of Katutura there. We see him on programs like these ones. So from the beginning here, let me welcome you in the studio, Ninja. And maybe from the beginning here, the audience would want to know, who are we speaking to? Who is this man? Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm Paulus Shimwefeleni, well known as Ninja, born in the north part of this country, Namibia.
Okay.
I'm Chiwambo speaking, Ukwambi, I'm Ukwambi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Narungono. Yeah.
All right. Ninja, we are aware of your more than 25 years of sentence in a correctional facility, right? And most of the times, you know, people from different corners of country, they'll be having different perspectives or different perspectives or different view of exactly what you did. One will be saying, no, we heard he did what, and that is what led him to the correctional facility. One will say, no, he did what, and that is exactly what led him there. Everyone have their own stories, but you are the person that know what you did exactly, what happened, what led you here, you know, all of that. Maybe from the beginning here, could you take us back to the moment that changed everything, to the moment that led you to 25 years of sentence in the correctional facility? What exactly happened? What did you do? Yeah.
Yeah. On my way back from exile, where I stay in Cuba, 1991, I was returning from Cuba. I came to Namibia.
Okay.
Yeah, I never stayed at the stockhouse. I came and stayed in Ochakati, whereby the only friend that I could have there, they were criminals. So we start doing things that are unnecessary. And also, I found myself arrested with a TV, which is stolen by a friend who gave me because he doesn't want to be seen selling it. Then when I was busy selling this TV, I was arrested.
Okay.
Then I went to serve my sentence at the Grootfontein.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while I was serving my sentence there, I met these guys who wanted me to become their colleagues in committing crime at Windhoek, and they told me, no, from here you must come and stay with us at Windhoek.
Okay.
Then I didn't go straight to Windhoek, so I went back to Ochakati, and they came looking for me. Then I show up in Windhoek, so they wanted me to be part of what they are doing, stealing cars, hijacking cars. So the most important to them when they have me is because I speak Portuguese. I speak Spanish, so since they are selling cars in Angola, they wanted me to be part of the group.
So you were very useful in terms of languages because it was so easier working with you because you'll be able to translate and get other people that can speak Portuguese.
Yeah, okay. I was accompanying these Angolans to the border. Sometimes we go to Rubango, Namibe, Benguela, Rwanda.
Okay.
And also, I even start bringing them inside the country. Because Angolans don't trust us anybody. We have to talk their language.
Okay.
If you speak their language, then they will follow you. You are their guardians. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe while we are still there, you have mentioned of from the beginning, it was just something that looked very small. Somebody stole a television, and then they made you sell it for them until you find yourself whereby the police is looking for you. You are arrested, and you go back to you went to, what is this?
I was sentenced to 6 months.
Okay. You, 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 You stay there for 6 months, and then it's when you have encountered with some people where you were sentenced, and then is them that it's like you found people that recruited you to be part of them.
Yeah.
All right. From the beginning there, when you just finally decided, like, I'm part of this men and I think I should just start doing what they are doing because I'm also benefiting and whatnot. How does that time then, how do you feel about that? How was the challenge? Can you share with us the experience on how you used to do things, how you used to run after the police? I mean, the police running after you and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. Things were not easy,
mm-hmm.
because at the beginning, police didn't know who I am.
Yeah.
Because I even hear some of them saying, the guys are doing ABCs from, he was in 2 foot.
Mm-hmm.
They did not even know how I look like.
Mm-hmm.
Some people start calling me Makwambi.
Okay.
So.
Makwambi because we are Kwambi.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
They didn't know I'm from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted now also to become a boxer,
okay.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to buy my training suit and take it to go to the gyming because I was training with these guys like Alona, mm-hmm. Peter, you know, Chakati in the secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
When I came in Namibia, so I never went back to the soccer. So these guys now were like, they see me as someone they can work with them
mm-hmm.
after I served my sentence. So,
okay.
Yeah, then the police in Ochakati were having some trouble. I was going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but I never stayed longer. So just these small things.
Okay.
Then after I served my sentence at the cross for day,
mm-hmm.
I become somebody else.
Okay.
So from then now I'm accompanying this Angolans. I'm going to Lubango. I start seeing big money.
Mm.
I later have a lot of cases in the north. I had to learn how to come and stay in Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
Here is now where I found now people. We rob bank, we rob shopper, we hijack car.
Okay.
We do all those things.
All right.
Then later on, I found myself, I have been given 15,000 bail. Then I see my bail case went to up to 25.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever I'm given a bail, I don't come back to court. It's like you have released me.
Okay.
So... later on, I have a lot of case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I start even learning to go to Angola.
Mm-hmm. Just to go and hide there.
Yeah, if the money gets finished, you have to come for another car.
Okay.
It was like that. Then I also escaped later in the Chakatika study.
Mm.
So I would not stay in November because they were looking for me.
Okay.
So in 1997, then bail cases, there are so many. I was coming from Angola, I came here, then there was a lady who wanted me to be part of the people that are going to steal his brother from the prison.
Okay.
So I was also involved there. So that night is when Betrag was on my side. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
We end up ending the life of someone.
Okay.
An innocent person who was driving his car in the night, then after we remove this person from the prison because we whited him with his car.
Mm-hmm.
And, then when he came and then we drive away, the guy wanted to run away.
Mm.
Then we didn't know he's a fighter. He was also fighting against me there. Then he hit me with a stone. Then I was having a gun. All my friends were having gun. Then we shoot at him and he died.
Okay.
Is something which is difficult to tell which bullet have killed him.
Mm.
Yeah, so the only thing that we know, we all three of us were involved.
Okay.
Yeah, which brings us when we were arrested to be given a life in prison.
So at that time, when you and your other two friends shot somebody that was also fighting against you, that is what led you to 25 years of sentence in the correctional facility.
Yeah, that is what. But I was already having a lot of cases.
Okay.
A lot of robbery, hijacking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that you mentioned that, when at the spot scene when that person was shot by the three of you, was it only you that was arrested, or even the other two?
No. all three of us were arrested. We were actually five in the car.
Okay.
When we were arrested, we were five. We were arrested by an helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
That side of Kamanyam.
Mm-hmm.
Then Inspector Baker was called there.
Okay.
Then they come and pick us, bring us at Windhoek.
Mm.
Now, the other two people were innocent. They were not at the scene where everything happened.
Okay.
So me going to court there, I told the court that the two gentlemen are not guilty. They must be released.
Okay.
One is from Angola, another one is from Machakati.
So those two, they got released and then you stayed?
Yeah, I stayed with the other two.
Okay.
Accused number two and accused number three.
Okay.
So accused number four and five is one is from Angola, another one is from Machakati. They were released.
Okay. While we are still there, maybe I would want you to emphasize on something so that the audience will also have the clarity that you have mentioned that upon your arrival from exile, that was Cuba, right? And then you came home. How was the situation at home? Was there any other contribution factor that forced you to start making connections with these friends of yours, or you didn't have any other option? Is just because of your friend's situation that dragged you in criminal activities?
Yeah, I'll go back to Cuba.
Mm.
When I was in Cuba, I was already, I just came straight from prison to Namibia.
Okay.
To Africa.
Okay.
So there I have a problem with the teacher. Then I slap a teacher. Mm. Then I fight with a male teacher and a girl also there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sentenced to 3 years and 8 months in prison.
Okay.
Then and that was my third indiscipline. In Cuba, if you are there, there is only three.
Mm.
They give to you. If you make three indiscipline, or a woman is impregnant, or you impregnate the lady, they will chase you out.
Mm-hmm.
So out of prison, they take me out of prison 1991
mm-hmm.
on January. So when I came, they bring me to Angola, and Angola I was sent to Namibia.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was already with some mind of, I have also picked up some things in Cuba from the offender there in prison.
Mm.
So I was already, I also grew up watching too much movie.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm already a gangster at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came in Namibia, I was already infected the way that I said I sent this in Cuba.
Okay.
Many students, they thought I'm already out of the country, but I was just in prison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe, can you also share with us, you know, finally you got your sentence, right?
Yeah.
You know that you have to be there for 25 years, right? What was your experience in the correctional facility? How does the correctional facility looks like for an audience who is listening to us right now or to you right now? They may not have a picture of how the correctional facility look like. The members in, can you just share with us your experience in the correctional facility?
Yeah, me coming to the correctional facility, first it was difficult.
Mm.
I was always having a crush with the member.
Mm.
And it was difficult for me to accept the fact that I would stay there for a long time.
Okay.
So I was doing anything that offenders do in prison who have a long time.
Mm.
I was just, you know, I forget about the life outside.
Okay.
I even told my girlfriend, don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you have, give to this person or everything about me. So that was the first thing I did so that I can serve my sentence in peace.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember when I came in prison that time, it was not divided.
Mm-hmm.
There was one section which they call F-Sexy.
Mm-hmm.
F-Sexy sometimes going to up to 900 offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes 7, 8.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes 600 when they send some offender to like Hartapa or Runo or Barresby, Kate Maso prison like that.
Okay.
So because of lack of money and everything, so I end up selling dagger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Selling while you were in prison?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because first I was believing, no, this is the end. I would no longer have a life. So she said, I was sentenced to a life in prison. And I checked out, this will be my home forever. So I accept that the fact that, no, I have murdered somebody, I have taken somebody's life. At least in Namibia, we don't have death penalty because that was supposed to be.
Okay.
So I was now like, okay, let me survive inside here. I have to eat. I have to do what I grew up training, doing push-up and all those things. So then also because I went to the prison, somebody who's strong, I end up being control of other offenders. They don't just do rubbish with me. They scare me. And yeah, I was in charge of my own life. I don't listen to a member.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Believe me out here, even myself and other people will have this perspective view of saying, ah, no, you go to prison and then you'll be eating nice, you'll be what, you'll be what. Until there was a time whereby I was invited to speak on the mental health day at we celebrated that day at Oluna Correctional Facility. And it was my first time that I'm seeing all the inmates gathered. There are those with their own behaviors. They don't even want to follow. Some, they're even bullying each other. Some, they want to fight. Now, what? There is these kids, you know. There is these kids who don't want to follow. And most of the times when they are hearing, no, our government has changed people, they don't even get mistreated anymore in the correctional facility. Yes, the correctional facility officers, they hardly do those things because they are trying to do rehabilitation, right? They are trying to rehab you. What would you share with us, the experience among the members? How was the cooperation, the interaction? How was it? Because it's always a problem between there is those gangsters, there is these people who want to change their lives and praying to God that, no, I'll behave good at all costs because I want to go out of this space. What would you tell us regarding that?
Yeah, first I'll start telling you, prison is not a hotel. The treatment you get in prison, you are not eating what you want to eat.
Okay.
Sometimes if the cook at the kitchen wake up with a stress, they just cook porridge and no salt or anything, you have to eat. And you keep repeating eating the same things for 10 years. Later on, you don't even get that taste in your tongue, in your mouth, because you used to.
Okay.
You will not feel it. You are not going, like that time when you went there, we only get exercise of 30 minutes outside. Then the rest, you are inside the room. And you are sitting in that room with people who don't even talk to you.
Okay.
The men on your life, your left side, is see you as too much for him. This one is asking your mother every day. Imagine you are in that cell there with 30 people. You don't have a friend because everybody is concentrated on his sentence.
Okay.
In prison, any mistake at the site will stand up. Any mistake, somebody can be stepped.
Okay.
Prison is a place where you don't want to test the members. If they been told in that cell there is cell phone or anything, that is now the new time now.
Okay.
In our time, there was no cell phone. Sometimes they hear information of Dhaka. They will come and search, and if you misbehave, they will beat you up. Because they are there to teach people discipline. If they teach people like they are in safari hotel, everybody will go back to prison. Prison, there is gangsters forcing you to join the gangs. There are people who are stronger than you. You order your thing, they will take the plastic carry back out.
Okay.
Only now that the prison has been divided, things have changed. So prison, you have a visitor. It's a certain time that is limited.
Okay.
You are not seeing your family enough.
You. When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Okay.
You are not seeing your family enough.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming and visit. I know, did you know what? Now I bought my house. I'm doing what? Those things, they are so hard.
Mm.
Your girlfriend is coming and visit, and it's on Friday. It's watching her time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you already seeing that you want to go away somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a 10 years remind of your sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That's why me, when I went there, I said to my girlfriend, I'll stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've dropped my thing at my family house or my friend to do that.
Okay.
Because you have to understand this is going to be your life
mm-hmm.
for a certain time now.
Okay.
So prison, people should understand, it's not a safari hotel.
Mm.
Prison, you are not allowed to do what you want to do. You are following rules from the member.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from Oluno, Grootfontein, Tsume, Kate Masop, Hardtop and Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
You are an offender. They don't mention your name. They say, offender, go here. Offender, do this.
Okay.
Your name is just in your card of your sentence.
Okay.
And at the, where they book you.
Okay.
When you are coming in. So mm-hmm. you are just an offender. You are intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What were some of the biggest emotional and mental challenges you faced during your early years in the correctional facility? You know, from the beginning there, when things were getting very tough, you getting involved in the gangster and whatnot, and people want coming to visit you, telling you different things and whatnot. You seated there in a holding cell or where you guys were always placed for such a very long period of time. You thinking of the time that you have to stay there, your sentence life, and thinking of the future that you also want to have. You living with a lot of regrets when you are thinking of, no, I wish I could do what, I wish what, and whatnot. So what were most of your biggest emotional and mental health challenges that you faced during that time?
Yeah. At the first time, there was no an offender with a life sentence.
Okay.
Knowing that there is a release after 25. No.
Mm-hmm.
These things came on 2017, when we were told that we can only serve our sentence up to 20 years.
Okay.
The first group, which was more than 20 offenders, they only served, some of them 13, 14, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because those ones, they were sentenced under the Act of 98.
Okay.
Then us, who were sentenced in the Act of 1989, we have to finish 25 years.
Okay.
So, at the beginning, you just believe, you know, I'm going to die here. Sometimes you even hear somebody making a joke, you guys are going to be buried by the prison
mm-hmm.
when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was part of it that we believe we are going to die in prison.
Okay.
Until that appeal, until that case, we talk to court.
Okay.
Yeah, then we were told, no, okay, 25 is the maximum you can serve, but also still depending how you behave.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot just send you out of prison while you are still involved in gangs activity in prison, for example.
Okay.
You are still being found with position with a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You are still involved in quarreling with a member, you are insulting member, or you are always fighting.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who I found there, but they are still there in prison.
Okay.
With a life sentence.
Right now, there are people that you found there, they are still there.
Yeah.
You left them.
They came there 1994, 1995.
Okay.
Yeah. Even now, as I told you, my accused who was with me is mm-hmm. back in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's back there. He has to start again from day one to 25.
Okay.
Yeah, so as with life, anything I do here, maybe even pointing a finger to my girlfriend, I will do ABC to you as a threat. And she report me. They will maybe call me because I did not act yet. And one, a third time is back to prison.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are still people that I found, they sentenced for life in prison. They are not released because of their behavior.
Okay.
Like me, Commissioner General, even before I was released, he called me and told me what I, this is, he told me, he had a record in front of him. He told me, let me start telling you from 1997.
Okay.
When you come in this prison, 98, 99, 2000, he was like, this ninja was doing this, this ninja was doing this, this ninja was doing this. And today I see you as a role model to other offenders. So you qualify to be released on parole.
Okay.
And this parole is called full parole.
Okay.
So then he told me they are going to prepare you. You're already done with the TRS, so now they are coming to tell you what to behave when you are going to society. He even goes so far to tell me, people outside, you found people, some people will like you, some they will hate you. I'm putting myself at a risk to release you.
Okay.
That is what he told me.
Okay.
Because I will not just trust and believe what you are telling me is what you are. Because I'm not inside your heart. Only God can see who you are inside your heart. So, but I'm telling you, I will send you outside. You are going, what you have performed for us here, to qualify to be a member of society.
Okay.
That is from the general himself. Then I told him, no, you will not be disappointed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Ninja, maybe can you also take us back to, you know, you have been there, right? You have been there, and I want you to share with us the day that, what was the turning, what was your turning point during your incarceration that made you decide, like, today me, Paulus Shimwefeleni, I want to change because I want to see myself going out of this Krishna facility. When was that day when you see yourself, you begin your journey of transformation and wanting to do better while you were still in correctional facility?
Yeah, there was a day, a time, I think it's 2016.
Okay.
Or 17, somewhere there. So every year, the correctional facility, they have an exhibition where by all prisoners are coming to show what things they are doing with offenders.
Okay.
So that time I was at the workshop because I joined workshop 2014.
Okay.
Yeah, on September. Then on 16 we were at the workshop and then they, I just hear my name be called in the office. You are part of the group that's going to demonstrate how to do tailor at the what is this center where they train members? Isomaruru.
Yeah, Isomaruru.
So we went there. The president was invited. Our correctional facility general, Rafael Anyela, was there. The deputy, Angula, was also there. Then we went from our workshop. We went and sit there. Then we brought to a tender where the president was coming, with the first lady. And by that time, first lady already visited our workshop at the correctional facility because she's also one of the person that changed many offenders' lives.
Okay.
Yeah, Mrs. Monica Cake was coming to the correctional facility talking to us. And he been like me, he was standing with me. We even end up in the newspaper there.
Okay.
I want you to change your life, turn your life around.
Okay.
You cannot continue being a bad person forever. Everything has a limit. That is what she told me. No, at the Romaruru, His Excellency came there accompanied by our General Anyela. Then Anyela, General Anyela introduced me to His Excellency. Your Excellency, this one used to be Saulus, now is Paulus. Those who were there, they were playing a big role in my mind while we were at the Maruru Training Center. I went to the service sharing with my colleague who went with me, who worked at the tailor shop.
Okay.
They were also telling me, no, the big men see you as a changed person.
Okay.
Follow what he's saying.
Mm.
Then my coming back to the correctional facility, I was still in position with the... Let me say, I was also, since we have a fight with the gangster,
okay.
I never stay away from contraband. I was in position with a knife. I was having dagger
mm-hmm.
that I sell to other offenders
okay.
to earn money because no visit was coming so fast, like at the end of 2020.
Mm.
Yeah, and I was also somebody who hated visit.
Okay.
Because
so you don't like to be visited that time?
Discourage you to serve your sentence in peace.
Visitors, every when they are
time
coming.
You come back from, yeah, oh. Every time you come from the visit, you saw your brother, you saw your sister, you saw your mother. Those things, they are sometimes not good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I told the guys, who want this, you can take it. Because from today on, I will not do these things anymore.
Okay.
And I never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
I went on with my rehabilitation. In 2017, I was lucky to be involved in a rehabilitation program.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was postponed to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I'm not wrong, 2018. I was already at the minimum unity.
Okay.
Where they took me to the program for 8 months,
mm-hmm.
where they teach us how to behave. This program is called TLS, mm-hmm. Thinking and Living Skills. So I finish that program and copy everything and use it while I'm in prison.
Okay.
Yeah. And all the time when the offender having a quarrel with me, I just stand up and beat him up because I was strong.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay.
By that time, I finished the program.
Mm.
Many temptations was coming to me. I'm just saying no.
Okay.
If you insult my mother, sometimes I'll tell you, she's not here to hear you, only me, so I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, and I learned that cowards live longer.
Mm-hmm.
So then I survived through the program. They give me, the prison had really, really prepare me for me coming out of that prison, that program they give me. Up to today, I'm just following the footsteps of rehabilitation that they give me. I'm a completely changed man, thanks to the correctional facility.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. while you are there, would you share with us maybe some of the experience that shaped your value, shaped your mindset, shaped your understanding of responsibility? Because I believe right now, Ninja, you are a responsible citizen in terms of leadership, because we always see you around, working around with the police, educating the youth, telling them to stay away from alcohol and drugs, you know, wanting them to do better in life, to be responsible. Maybe can you tell us, in terms of rehabilitation now, or just your life in the correctional facility, what exactly shaped your values, the mindset and your understanding of being a responsible person?
Yeah, first I'll tell you this.
Mm.
The program has been given to all offenders as a preparation for you when you are about to be released.
Okay.
They will not give you on the meter of your savings, and that's when they see you are about to go, like next year you are going.
Mm.
So they put it like starting from this year, they are preparing people for last year, next year.
Okay.
If you are going to the end of the next year, then they will put you maybe on program from February, March.
Okay.
Then on this year, they put those who are going on February.
Mm-hmm.
So, but not all every offender going through this program are serious and taking it serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same as people. Some people go to church that to show how, what type of suit you have.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go to church to be seen there by someone.
Mm-hmm.
Some people going there because he's learning, if he's a man learning behind a woman, he's always in the church.
Okay.
Yeah, program was the same. These people, some offenders, they want this file to, their file to have that qualification, certificate of attending 8 months program. When the recommendation was Barrow come, it's you defending him, well, this guy finished the program.
Okay.
Yeah, he will pretend and even acting like he was not doing anything in that time that left for him to be released.
Okay.
Yeah. Making sure that when the parole comes to a recommendation, the file is clean.
Mm.
But once they come out, some of them, they go back.
Okay.
It's whereby I learn also that the community also need to do something, because the correctional facility alone cannot rehabilitate people and keep them in a good direction. The community need to involve.
Okay.
If the person is inside the prison and they train and give him everything, you come outside, you don't have support.
Okay.
He's going to continue and go back to the thing that he used to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the program which I was given by the correctional facility, that shaped me, has cleaned me, all these debts from my hand, they are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's also for you as an offender to understand and accept I have done wrong.
Okay.
If that is not in your mind, you're still going to be the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Because acting outside is not what is in your mind, is not what is in your heart.
Okay.
That is life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a woman in your life, but you only love how she was made by God.
Mm-hmm.
But at your heart, you are just using her to enjoy what you have, what you're enjoying from her. It's the same with the rehabilitations. If you are only there to act so that you can be released and come outside and continue with your things.
Okay.
It will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You will never change.
Okay.
So I really appreciate what the correctional facility did for me.
Mm.
Even up to now, if I'm walking in town and came across a member,
mm-hmm.
I always stop and greet them with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you also share with us any training that you did in the correctional facility?
Training.
Yeah, because you have mentioned of welding. Did you learn that from the correctional facility?
This tailor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there. I was at the tailor shop for more than 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only that they don't give qualification there.
Okay.
Which has made me change my mind to ask them to send me to plumbing divisions.
Okay, plumbing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, plumbing is now where I was even given a chance. I was the first and last one to study at CAEC.
Okay.
Where I did my level one qualification there. I was graduated there.
Mm-hmm.
I later on, they did not stop there. They sent me and my colleague at the NANCOL where we did our level three.
Okay.
Mr. Erifas is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the correctional facility, when it comes to people like us who commit big crimes,
mm-hmm.
they want to make sure you are not going to repeat it.
Okay.
They make sure they put you through program, and they also force you, by all means, to go to workshop and do, get skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's no longer a thing of I want to go to workshop. Nah, it's just say you are going to workshop.
Okay.
Especially for somebody who's been just robbing people, stealing cars, stealing houses. What do you think when you believe but you don't have any skills?
Mm.
And they see you as somebody who's going to be in the street stealing, doing the same things.
Okay.
Yeah, the prison has prepared me very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. You know, the correctional facility is so hard. You mentioned that the correctional facility is not safari hotel, whereby you'll be ordering whatever you want to eat, you'll be sleeping at a very finished bedroom and having all the good time to yourself. Maybe can you also share with us what was your hardest reality you faced after regaining your freedom? I know you've been very excited to come back home to meet your family, and you've been longing to see the sun again, just to come here, live peacefully, do all the things that you are supposed to do, exactly what you are doing right now. Maybe can you share with us what was the hardest reality when you just gained your freedom, as well as, you know, most of the times right now in the society, the ex-offenders, they are being bullied. They are being discriminated or discrimination. No, that person has been in a correctional facility. That person is a bad person. Even after the rehabilitation that you had at the correctional facility, even when you, your heart, you know, I have changed. I'm a good person now and I'm looking forward to start a new journey, or have already started my new journey. So in terms of stigma also, how did stigma affect your integration in the society, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, I have so many comments.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, my young brother, General Simwe,
okay,
he was like, you are not allowed to have a smartphone.
Mm.
He gave me this, how they, Tamagotchi, or what they call it.
Tamagotchi, Katoshi.
Yeah, Tamagotchi, yeah.
Yeah.
He said, stay with that one.
Mm.
I was even sometimes ashamed of it, because when you answer me, I have put that piece on my ear to answer it from my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I was having a smartphone, but I was not using it.
Okay.
Because there were so many comments. Mm-hmm. Hey, this guy, a snake, can never finish poison. Mm-hmm. What?
Okay, reports you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the snake, this snake here, mm-hmm, its poison is to give medicine to people to be cured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I experienced many things, but after the fight,
okay,
of me and Harry Simon,
mm-hmm,
even I'm not a boxer,
mm-hmm,
I saw a lady, a young lady,
mm-hmm,
who I think was not even born the time I went to prison.
Okay.
Telling people on TikTok, I don't want to listen to this guy's story. Have you people forget the big team and mm-hmm everything? Then I was like, of course it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
She has a right to say so. Maybe she's also a family member of the deceased or anything. Or maybe who is somebody who has been hurt of what I've been doing. Maybe, yeah, things like that. But the prison have already prepared me not to put attention to things like that, because they also told me, not everybody, Special General,
okay,
Commissioner General told me, listen, not everybody going to like you. But you have to be there for yourself.
Okay.
Don't respond to any provocation.
Mm-hmm.
Report it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and my way coming out of prison, coming outside, I fall in a good of a friend who was with me in Cuba, Mr. Kanu Pichamadila,
mm-hmm,
who pay an accommodation for me to be there.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 year, he's been paying 8,200.
Okay.
Saying me, my brother, we suffer to stay together in Cuba, so I will introduce you in the society.
Mm.
That is somebody that I always have in my prayers, he must grow and stay longer with his family.
Okay.
There's been Mr. Kiriat Kamanya was also there for me.
Okay.
Then this young man, Dina, the musician,
mm-hmm,
of gospel,
mm-hmm,
who I was so lucky to be blessed by him, to God bless me with somebody like him.
Mm.
Take me to the church. Now I'm a member of the center with Pastor Goro and his wife.
Mm.
They are there. He's like a father. He's like a big brother. He's everything.
Okay.
Even though if I call him, I say, no, I need 1,000. He will not accept it. That's okay. I'll send you now in one.
Okay.
So I must appreciate what God has done for me, because I fall in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people, they don't like dimension, so I leave them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, many people saw me, Mr. Namanja, giving me money. That is what this young lady was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was even surprised, because she doesn't know how Namanja know me.
Okay.
So it really has been difficult. I saw one day, with my skill of plumbing, Mr. Kanu sent me to go and work at a certain house.
Mm.
Then the gentleman, the owner of the house, was called to go to work, and he was responding through the window. I was listening.
Mm-hmm.
After I finished fixing his geyser,
mm-hmm,
health basin in the house, I hear, no, I cannot come to work now because Ninja is here fixing Gisa and Mahen basin and everything, but my wife and kids, they are also at home. That gives me some scare not to go to certain place to walk.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it was like a shame on these people, man. Why are they talking like that?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just appreciating what God has done for me.
Okay. While you are there, Ninja, I want us to press the button there of, what is this? You know, most of the times we see ex-offenders coming back in the society. And some people, they are not privileged and blessed as you are to have people who are really standing in for them. Like, Ninja, today you can't go to bed starving because there is somebody out there who will remember you, right? But there are some of the people who are here who came back from the correctional facility. They don't even know where to start. When they're looking for employment, they have the criminal record, right? No one can hire them because of the criminal record. They have, it's like the community already have that picture of them back then, even before they received the rehabilitation, right? So what do you think the community or the government needs to do in terms of supporting the ex-convicts? Because if we are not supporting the ex-convicts, right, still these people will have a chance to go back and steal. You know, someone went to the correctional facility because they stole. And even still when they are back here, they are surviving so hard. It's so hard for them to put something to the table. So hard, even so hard for someone to have cosmetics. Someone will be walking around with hanging pens, smelling bad, not even have a proper shelter. And then they would want to try so hard, at least just to do something. What do you think our government needs to do? What do you think we as a community, we as a society need to contribute so that at the end of the day, we need to uplift, we need to give a shoulder to these people? What do you suggest there?
Yeah, you know, every year I see police say we are going to recruit 200 police officers, 300 police officers. That is not solution to crime. Because some police officers become also criminal. The thing is that the policies, the government should come up with a sender whereby someone with the knowledge of changing other offenders' mind can be in charge under someone who's been outside here, like he's a manager, this person is talking to other offender guys, this is the right thing to do.
Okay.
If there is a sender when offender been released from prison so that they can, maybe they are going outside, they're looking for a job, maybe in security company or something. Yeah, then crime will go down. It's not like you don't finish crime in your country like 99% of the day is a liar. Crime can come down maybe by 60% in our country. If the people, when a person is been released from prison, there is a sender that's searching a job for them, these people. Yeah, some people, they are in prison for more than 10 years. Those ones, they are easy to be turned to a better person. But those who are going there for 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, they still have that story of, no, me, I did not even spend time there. What is it? They still the same people. But the rehabilitation of in prison in the correctional facility is more stronger than the people that have long terms.
Okay.
People who have rape case, armed robbery, and so others. Because there was even an implementation of a program where offenders with a minimum sentence, people who don't have commit a big crime, they were released during the day to come and sit with their family. Whereby those who have rape and housebreaking and robbery, they will not allow. A group of us now, like me. So that's why now they concentrate in rehabilitate people with big crimes. So now, imagine a person staying in prison for 10 years. He's been released, of course. There will be somebody to sign him. This somebody don't have income to support his offender. I remember one of my colleagues, I will not mention his name, was released from the correctional facility. His family, first time, they allowed him to sit inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
There was a mini bed without chair and everything outside there. Then they end up throwing him in that mini bed, and they don't leave runs for him on anything.
Okay.
So now today he's staying at outside the window.
Mm-hmm.
He's staying at this Kasumo location, which is also falling under municipal aid now.
Okay.
Yeah, so he came to visit at the prison and he told me, it's not easy. They are doing this thing. Some family, they accept to sign you there because they are the only one who are there for you, but the income they have forced them to not leave you even food to eat.
Okay.
Yeah. Imagine, I came outside of prison last year, and since I came out, I was no longer allowed to be invited by Munene, the big man. I spoke about how I was changed by the correctional facility. It seems like in our government, people only care about their loved one.
Okay.
I'm not discriminating anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Our government don't give any eyes or ear to what co-offenders are saying.
Okay.
I came out telling people that I want to go school by school, talking with the offenders, with the young ones.
School kids.
And they saw those videos. It's not about me handing money or anything because I don't get anything out of this.
Okay.
Yeah, me, I'm still poor. So they were support to my, like, to now, like, supporting my project. When I went to Cape Masop, I was just invited by a politician there, Mr. Desmond Andreas. And say our kids in Cape Masop, they are in gang activity, and you've been in prison, and I saw what you are doing. Please come here and talk to them. And I really went there and changed these young people's life. People in Cape Masop now, they are working during the day, during the night. I talked to this boy and said, your own mother cannot go to a bar and buy you a good drink because she's scared of your own friends who are in the same gang with you. How do you take this? Yeah. I even came up with the idea that they should take some feet and come up with a company, like a security company that patrolling and recruit the same people. Like I say, like witchcraft people, they know each other. If you are recruiting the same people that been committing crime, they will also invite other guys here. We are okay. Read these things. Come and join us. Then the town will be clean. Our government have to come up with something. You see, for example, we see, I see our soldiers who are in the front line of protecting our country. They are also involved in murdering their girlfriend because of love. Jealous have taken control of our army soldiers and police officers.
Lack of, and lack of emotional intelligence as well.
Yeah. There is no way you can tell these people or denying them having weapons. They were trained to carry guns. Police officers will always end up having guns in their hands. And the time you go to the duty is the time that you know you have a gun, is the time you want to finish what you've been doing. Now, I was busy drafting up a letter, but I did not send it with my secretary. We wanted to be given a chance maybe to go around. We've been going to schools, talking to the students. Also to go camp by camp, telling to encourage soldiers that they are the protector. Our country, civilian, we are depending on soldiers. Now, if they are at the front time, front of the protection of this country, front line, and they are turning against the civilians, it will not going to work for our country. Women have been murdered by small things. That's a jealous. Somebody, you call my girlfriend, I love you. In the morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you are killing me. So this need someone with a knowledge, somebody who was in prison, somebody who been through these things, to talk to the people. And the government, if he doesn't come up with a project, this thing will never stop. You can recruit 20 people a day as police officer. These things will never come to an end because there is no one. Imagine now if people who are dying, they come back in this world to live with us. And they are telling us, there, my friend, the things that you are doing here, there you are going in hell. If you are doing these things, you are going in heaven. Many people will follow what they've been taught. As being ex-offender, we have seen, I was there for more than 25 years. So I will talk to these people. And also, I want to touch a point where you say, I've been lucky to have friends outside. It's not about that. Let me make it clear for you. When I came outside, I went to Tolunga Radio, me, myself, talking. People will not help you if you are not coming out for them to see who you are. Before I came out, there was already some offenders, released, more than 20 of them. They just went to their home. Some of the offenders, they don't know how to talk. Yeah, because talking to people doesn't need your education, your qualification. This is a gift from God. He put words in your mouth and you tell people.
You deliver.
I'm not a pastor. I'm just someone here to experience things that I want our youth to learn from me. And I want them not to follow in my footsteps of my pastor. I was wrong. I was at the wrong side. I was driving my car at the wrong side of the road. Where the traffic said, don't go there. So I want our people to understand that crime does not pay. And prison is a place you don't want to test. Like I say, it's not safari hotel. If you go there, you only end up at the office in front of the prison. You hear some nice smell. You think that food is what you eat? No. Sometimes those are special food the people who are cooking in the kitchen make for themselves. I don't want to say it's rubbish food because it keeps you alive. So the prison is trying to do its best to rehabilitate offender, but without the help from the society getting involved. Whether you have a loved one in prison or not, you may not know tomorrow. It will be you. Don't laugh at somebody because he's been in prison. You can drive in your road and you are wrong, you bump somebody. That is a nightmare or 10 years. You can, if you are a man, you go and end up in a bed with your girlfriend. She did not wake up nice, or the family don't support the as well. And they end up opening a case
against you.
There are also innocent people in prison there. That's why you see some people go to court back and they will release. They are innocent. Not everybody in prison is guilty. No. Some people, they are not educated. They don't understand the law. They don't know how to defend themselves. He just goes there, then he's given 10 years. Then he found people who know the law. Say, hey, man, the story you told me that brought you to prison is not right. You deserve to be free from this prison. Can you continue?
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, sorry. Okay, let's just continue. We are almost done. Okay. Maybe you can just further tell us how does forgiveness has to do with, in terms of convictions and crimes, and you having to forgive yourself, you having to forgive those who have also offended you, right? Because it was a long journey. It has been a long journey. What role did forgiveness play to yourself, to others, and to your transformation and the man of that who you are today?
I want people to understand, if we don't forgive people, they end up going back to the life they used to be. It's like pumping him up. These people don't care about me. So no matter what, I forgive myself, but they are still calling me names. So I think I must just continue with my thing that I've been doing before I went to prison.
Okay.
But forgiving sometimes you're also encouraging this person to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep telling your girlfriend, oh, you are beautiful, then she go that way.
Mm-hmm.
As long my men see me as beautiful in his eyes, so I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people sometimes copy what other people do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are all right there and see people, they are happy with you. Even they are not happy with your past,
mm-hmm.
but they are supporting you. You've been a good man today in our eyes.
Okay.
We like the story. We like the person we have become.
Mm-hmm.
It's an encouragement to this person.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm out and you're still calling me a snake, never finish all his poison.
Mm. It's like the person is provoking you.
On the snake. So why? Why is people like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ninja, today, we always see you on social media trending, being accompanied by the police officers, you going places by places, educating people, creating awareness and whatnot. So today that you work now with these young people on crime awareness, what message do you think they need to hear the most from you today?
Yeah, I want our youth to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those who are in education.
Okay.
Education is the key to their future.
Mm-hmm.
Education is everything to a better life for them.
Okay.
And our youth should understand that God have never wrote on back of their parent when is he coming to take them.
Okay.
Parents, they are not going to be all right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time where they are starting to for them to prepare themselves. When my parents are no longer there, I will have a dignity, a job with my dignity. I will work at a certain office.
Mm-hmm.
I will have my own income. They must take serious their education and staying away from bar. Bar is not for the youth.
Mm.
It's for people who are old enough now to enjoy their last times.
Mm-hmm.
They must stay away from this using drugs.
Mm-hmm. The hubbly bubbly.
They are using this hubbly.
Mm-hmm.
They are injecting themselves. You already see this thing is poisoning my mind and my health. But you continue. Even when these things I'm talking about, they are going to be angry.
Okay.
I remember when one day I came with a video on my TikTok telling people, no, alcohol is not good.
Mm.
Of course, you can drink. With timings, it doesn't mean they must not drink, but sometimes you drink, cross the line, and you end up forgetting to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You are infecting your health.
Mm-hmm.
No woman will live health life with you forget eating.
Okay.
Because our body is like a car. No petrol in the car will go away. Food, water is everything that we need.
Mm.
But if you drink, then you end up forgetting to eat, then any disease come in your body, you die.
Mm-hmm.
Because your soldiers, they are not fighting back any disease, you are weak.
Okay.
So I want you to understand that crime does not pay.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is a devil, like this guy from South Africa said.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is also like that. Mm-hmm. When you committed 50,000, you think you are somebody important.
Mm-hmm.
At your last penny, when you have only 500 left,
mm-hmm.
which is not enough for a bail,
mm-hmm.
that is when the police come and knock on your door. Can you come with us at the police station?
Okay.
And the sender there is 20, 30 years. It's the time you want to tell your family,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what I did, and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see me how big I am. I was in Cuba, I survived. I was in prison there, I survived.
Mm.
I came to Namibia, I came in prison, but I'm sorry for what I have done. I have regret.
Mm.
Have wasted my time in prison.
Mm.
I was a young boy with full of life, but I went there in prison because I have listened to wrong people.
Mm.
I was having wrong people in my life.
Mm.
our youth should understand that crime does not pay. I will repeat it, crime does not pay. You see people robbing the security card, carrying money. On Monday, by Friday, they are arrested. Some of us commit crime and you are a coward. You're going to talk. You are going to prison. And prison is not Safari Hotel, people. There is gangster member there. There is 28, there is 27, there is 26. They want to be in control. They make you join gangs. And prison, there is a language learning around there. You cannot testify the first time, you are not coming back. So prison is a better place. Don't test it. The treatment there is also harsh. Because they have to prepare you so that when you go outside, you don't come back. They make sure you feel it. Yeah.
All right. So that's very interesting. Ninja, the society have these misconceptions of labeling ex-offenders as some weird, bad people. What misconceptions that the society have about the ex-offenders that you want to challenge? Like you want to challenge them. That picture you have about ex-convict, that picture that you have about us, I will challenge it. Because I know myself, I know what I want for my life. I know the future that I want. I know the Namibian, the young youth people there I want to create. What misconceptions that the society look at you as ex-convicts that you want to challenge?
Yeah, this thing of them seeing someone like me getting help from someone, they should clap their hand and say, this person want this person to change totally. It's these people, they are giving us encouragement that we still can be better people, better women, member of the society that can be trusted. Yeah, I want our people in the country to support ex-offender with everything that they can. It's also minimizing the crime. You know, these people who go in prison, sometimes if they don't want to change, those who don't want to change because of a certain bad attitude of the society people, these people, they have met big fish in prison there. They have this big mind, even they are committing crime, you cannot arrest them. So it's better if we deal with these people also, like me now, I'm counting. I'm an ex-offender, but I'm counting myself as someone, a member of the society. It's like I was not there in prison. And this is also a message that I also want to send to my colleagues, my ex-colleague at the prison, those who are released, ex-offenders. We are on our second chance. We have been given our second chance. We should not throw it away because of a small thing that attracts our attention to commit crime. Don't come out here want to dress nice. Don't come out here want to have a fast life. You have been in prison for many years. You have suffered enough. So even God don't have a third chance. There's only second chance. Same with the correction of think they only give you a second chance. So seeing my ex-offender, when ex-accused went to prison, he's back in prison. It makes me feel very bad to see someone who's been there in prison for many years. I feel sorry for this gentleman because he's back in prison. Sometimes his lack of supporting from the community. Sometimes it's, there is no connection with this gentleman, with his family. Like me, for example, I should celebrate the happiness from his family side. They call me every day. I receive 3-4 calls from my family. How are you doing? Please don't disappoint yourself. Stay away from wrong friends. That is the main powerful thing that coming from the family, which will encourage ex-offender not to go to the extent of repeating their offense. So if your family is supporting you, me, I'm staying now with people who are encouraging, like I'm a best friend. Dennis Topias, Takawa, Madira, they all ask, like, oh, my brother, it's a Christmas, your second Christmas, enjoy. Kriya Kamanya is there, a lot of friends, family members. Yeah, even what you are doing with me now in the radio here is something that I see, or there are people see what I'm doing. And I also want to tell offenders that find themselves not having support from them. But sometimes it's you. It's you have to open up your mouth and talk to the people. Show the people what you want to be done for you. Show the people that you want to be there for the youth, not to follow in the footsteps. You, as we have experienced things from the prison, but people want to see, they want to hear. What did we observe in prison? What have come, what we have become today? Because in that way, we are teaching the youth. The youth are learning from us that prison is not a place that they should test. And crime does not pay. It should come from us. It's like a teacher went to school to become a teacher to teach students.
They always expect something from you. Even today, as you speak now on this studio, believe me, General Rafael somewhere, he's proud of you because he know he never regretted giving you this opportunity to come out. They see you around, even the officers that you have been working with, that has been training you, they are proud. They are proud because they see this person is here and he is, he's giving us assurance.
There is even a lady there. Who all of us that going on parole, you have to go through this lady. Her name is Mrs. Nawa, Commissioner Nawa.
Okay.
I think she's from Zambia or Zimbabwe, somewhere there.
Okay.
This lady, her attitude make people see her as a man.
Okay.
When you are talking to this lady, she's all right serious. She don't make friendship with offenders. Until the day you come there for your parole, that is the time you're going to see.
You are signing a friendship. Okay.
Friendship there does not exist. Because she only wants you to be a better person on your life, upon your release. That is all she wants. When you saw me on TV there, when they were preparing me in prison for release, the lady who was there with me, and I like, I'm not pressing anyone but telling the truth, Commissioner Nambudunga, Tate Nautana, the late Tate Newumbo, who is no longer with us, may he rest in peace. Even on his memorial service, I went there to give a speech. It was my first speech and last speech in the prison, where I went there to tell the member the. When I came to prison, I used to take members as my enemy. Then I end up observing myself and I'm the one who at the wrong side. Member have started becoming my friends. There is a young man there who's working, who was with us at Flambings, Mr. Apine. I left him as a sergeant. I don't know what thing he have now. He was all right, encouraged my power. If you go outside, even you have one bread. Two slices of bread, enjoy that and sleep. The same you've been doing in prison. Don't disappoint me or yourself or your family. That young man is also playing the Lord, big role in my life. So I just want to call offender to understand. It's not the society that will change you. It's you yourself. Like for me, for example, me, I put myself first. Then people. I don't care what people saying to me. I only care what I want to achieve. And to tell you the truth, I don't act like a car. I don't have any best. I'm not looking back. I'm just going forward. So once I enter in a door, and this door is not a door that this one is physically. I'm talking about if I'm going step forward. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking back.
Mm-hmm.
I cross everything behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I went with Harry Simon, I already know I'm not going to do well against him.
Mm-hmm.
But I was putting my concentration on what I'm going to get. At mm-hmm. least it's not committing crime and sentencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm still a best friend with Harry Simon.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like he opened... And open up something on my, he put something on my account.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world champion. Everybody know. Some people, they even distance themselves because I did not fight well with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why they even know that I'm not a boxer?
Mm-hmm.
I went there for my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Also entertain people. Okay, mm-hmm. you take it wrong. That is your own story.
Mm-hmm.
But me as Paulus, I appreciate it because I earn something from it without committing crime.
Mm, mm, mm.
I want people to take that example. Don't do things for the eyes of the people. Do things that you really know. This is what I want.
Mm, mm.
Don't wear clothes to supply people. Some people even found the person is buying the underwear which costs $3,000. Who's it?
Mm. Impressing people while you are taking your life at risk.
You must think about, this is what I want.
Mm.
Me, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how people end up murdering their girlfriend?
Okay.
Do you know where people are ending their own life?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, for example, you found out you are HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't want people to find it out, then you go and hang yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who's losing here? It's you. These people, you saw shame of them, but they don't even come to your memorial service. They don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to leave your children. You are going to leave them in poverty. You are going to leave your loved one. They are going to cry because you know, let us do things for us, not for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe you are a leader. You are there to do things for the people because mm-hmm. we vote you to be judged.
Okay.
Only the president can sacrifice himself for our country and soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Civilian, we must stop doing things so people do. You don't want to be there for yourself.
Okay.
You always put your eyes what the people are going to say.
Mm.
Oh, no, it's not good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, Ninja, what will be your last words before we close off?
My last word,
mm-hmm.
I will go back to our youth because they are the most important things in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Please take your study very serious.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen not to be someone who is at school,
mm-hmm.
go to any VTC, anywhere you can get skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can earn something out of your skills. Skills is something that's going with you under the soil when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with you.
Okay.
And I want the youth to understand that crime does not pay and they should not follow in my old footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Be ninja. Ninja is a good guy.
Mm.
This new ninja here is like people say, a snake poison never gets finished. But
mm-hmm.
poison that left on me
mm-hmm.
is cure people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't kill anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who think I'm still a snake, may the Lord bless you and open your eyes to see that I'm a good person
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I will never go to crime or do something unnecessary just because you are saying so.
Mm-hmm.
I will continue going forward. I'm not a car, I will repeat it. I don't have rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless everybody and mm-hmm. all the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from crime. Crime does not pay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Beautiful audience, we have been in the studio with Ninja. Shimwe Fereni Paulus, who has been sharing with us his incarceration journey, his experience, what he did, what all the contribution affects us to his conviction. And, you know, we have opened this platform for you to learn from, especially young people. He spoke of alcohol, drugs, you just spending most of your times at bars and clubs, getting involved with wrong people. There is so much to learn from this program, and would want always you to come in the studio to share with us. You know, this platform is yours, right? It's me, your host, Penny Jonas, every Sunday, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll always be having this studio. And don't forget, please, to follow us on our Eagle FM social media platforms on Twitter, Eagle FM Namibia, Instagram, TikTok, we are there, Facebook. And also, please, don't forget to download the Eagle FM app. Just go to Play Store, search for Eagle FM app, you'll get it, and then you'll be connected. Thank you so much. Until we see each other, with me, your host, Penny Jonas.